Jesus said in his word, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I shall give thee a crown of life." Let's read just a little bit from the book of Jeremiah, the 51st chapter and the 34th verse. "Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me, he hath crushed me, he hath made me an empty vessel, he hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitants of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of the Chaldean, shall Jerusalem say. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause, and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea, and make her springs dry. Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment and a hissing, without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall yell as lions whips. In their heat I will make their feast, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with he-goats." Now, when we read about Babylon, it brings back to memories a lot of things, because we preached here a number of times concerning Babylon. We've told about the dimensions of the city, the walls, how they run the races with the chariots on top of their huge walls, the impregnable walls of Babylon, how that you couldn't penetrate them, and such powerful, great surroundings that nobody could get into them. And yet we explained how that God, through his great, wonderful wisdom, put it in a man's heart just to do a certain thing and just undermine the entire great, powerful walls that had never been penetrated. Just overnight, in a few hours, when God got ready, he went in. And then we explained how that the Bible, you can go back and read in the Bible, how that in the Bible, long before the walls were penetrated, that there was a prophet that stood up and told how that these walls would be penetrated, and how and called the man's name that would do it, how that that man would be the man that would do it. You can check it out. Long before it ever happened, the prophet spoke, and he told the name of the man that would do it. And as God would have it, the years came and went, and then eventually this man came on the scene. And this man rose up against Babylon. Now, if the king of Babylon had been a follower of God, if he had listened and believed the scriptures and been acquainted with the scriptures, he would have known when that man came into power that he was the man that was going to penetrate those walls. But he didn't know that because he didn't know the scriptures. See, we need to know the Word of God. Don't you agree? We need to know the Word of God. If we know the Word of God, then we know how to overcome Satan. We know what to do. We know when something is going to happen and when something isn't going to happen. We know the time of the coming of the Lord if we are in His Spirit. For the Bible said that the righteous shall know, but the wicked shall not know. Let's read a little more over in the book of Timothy, in the 14th verse of the 2nd chapter. "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, you know, speaking of Babylon, Satan would have us believe that the great Roman church is the church that God speaks of as being the ground and pillar of the truth. They would have us to think that. And they traced their ancestry all the way back, you know. And they go back to the Apostle Peter. They say he was the first pope. And they build upon that. And they would have us believe that that is the church. A lot of people would have us believe that there is no such thing as a natural church as far as a building in the earth. But you see here, according to Paul's teaching, both of them are wrong. He says that thou may knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In the church, or in the house of God. Now we could say that means in the membership of the body of Jesus Christ. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. That's God's house. We know that that's the spiritual application of it. But at the same time, he is trying to point out to people who think naturally that there is a building that is erected in certain places that's dedicated to God, and that there should be certain order in that house. And if that is true, then a place like Bethlehem, when we have a tabernacle like this, it means that we should reverence and respect God enough that we would have respect to his house. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, should I respect the house or should I respect God? The writer asked the question one time, which is the greatest, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? If you came down to my house to visit with me, would you respect my house or respect me? Or could you respect me and not respect my house? See, to respect me would be to respect my house, to respect what I stand for, to respect my family, to respect everything that I'm trying to do that's right. And it's the same way with God. For me to respect God is to respect God's people and to respect the things of God. Jesus said, in that you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you do it to me. And he said, in that day I'll say that I was hungry and you didn't feed me. Now, since when has God ever needed a biscuit? When he said, the cattle of 1,000 hills are mine. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. And they said, Lord, when did we see you like this? And we did not minister unto you. And he said, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, my brethren, you did it not to me. And in that you molested or hurt, come against, or found fault with, or had the wrong thoughts toward these, my brethren, you did it to me. So then we see that in all of the things of life, to respect God is to respect his people and respect what he's doing. Isn't that right? One thing that we need to learn, and that is that we are not dealing with Brother Pike. We are not dealing with Brother Taylor. We're not dealing with the ministry. We're dealing with God, the Spirit of the living God. And what a sad day it's going to be when we all stand over yonder on the other side, as we say. And I have to stand before God, and you have to stand before God, and all of us have to stand before God. And there we stand before the God, the Creator of heaven and earth, all of us stand there together. And what a sad time it's going to be when we stand there and all of a sudden the veil is moved away. And we suddenly realize that we have been dealing with the Almighty God. That we haven't been dealing with Brother Pine. That we haven't been dealing with the ministry. But that we've been dealing with the Almighty God. And there we stand before Him. And there heaven and earth is called together for a witness against you and against me if we haven't done the things that God has commanded us to do. So then we see that we're dealing with the Almighty God. We're not dealing with the ministry. The ministry is just a mouthpiece. I come down here just to tell you what I understand that God would have me to tell you. I said, well, Brother Pike, I think you're lifting yourself up too high to say, well, I could come here and tell somebody else what God thinks. Well, why do you come here to listen at me? See, if you don't believe that, why do you come here? Isn't that the purpose of God in the earth? Isn't that the purpose of the ministry? If that isn't the purpose of the ministry, then what purpose has the ministry in the earth? Whereas the Bible said it's not them that speak, but the Heavenly Father. Surely you understand that much. That the house of God is for one reason. That's not coming together so you can have a church, so you can have a treasury, so you can have a beautiful building, so you can have a community, so that you can feel good and say, I belong to the church and this is our church. Surely you know better than that. See, coming to God's house is to hear God speak. Somebody said, well, I don't believe you're God. I didn't say I was God. I said to hear God speak. He didn't say that I was God, but he did say it was God that spoke through me. He said it's not him that speaketh, but it is God that speaketh. All right, so then we come here to hear God speak. If I went to Washington, I would go to Washington to hear the president speak. Now, is that right? That is right in a sense. I would go there to hear not the president speak, but the government speak. That's what I would go to Washington for. For when the president speak, it's not the president speaking, but it is the government of the world speaking, if that power is in rule throughout the world. So then I go there to hear the voice of the government. When we come to the house of God, we don't go there to hear the preacher speak. But we go there to hear the voice of the government of God. That's why that I say that we're going to be greatly disappointed when we stand before the judgment bars of God if we're not very careful. The veil's going to come off and we're going to suddenly realize that great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in a human body. And this is what's going to tear us all to pieces. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that means that he was manifested in the body of Jesus. I know that's what it means. For God hath in time past spoken unto us by the prophets, but hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son Jesus, born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then, it is the voice of the Almighty God. If it was the voice of Brother Pike, I wouldn't be in this building. Because when I was Brother Pike, I didn't go to church. When I was Brother Pike, I had other plans, I had other thoughts, I had Brother Pike's mind. And Brother Pike's mind controlled this body, and Brother Pike's mind took it wherever it wanted to go. And whatever Brother Pike wanted to do, that's what Brother Pike done with this body. But one day Brother Pike died and they buried him. Today it's not Brother Pike that liveth, but God liveth. And the life I live by the Son of God on the inside of me. I am born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And today God uses my body. And so then I am at Little Bethlehem today. I am speaking to you today. And I go where God says go. And I do what God says do. And I'm subjected to the things that God says for me to do. If God says, Brother Pike, you pray all night, then I pray all night. That's all I can do. Because it's God's mind that's got a hold to the body. Now somebody would say, well, I do what I want to do. Well, I don't doubt but what you do. But if you're ever born again, you won't do what you want to do. You understand what I'm saying, folks? See, the Bible says in the latter times, Paul spoke it at his time of life. And he said right here at my particular time of life, he said the Spirit is speaking expressly. That is, it's clear. I understand it. I know exactly what it's saying. He said the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times. Now that's a long vision, isn't it? I'm way over here, Paul said, hundreds and hundreds of years before Brother Pike's time, before Brother Taylor's time, before many other great men and ministers' times. But I'm looking down through the telescope of time, and I can see way out there in the end time, in the latter time, he said, that many shall depart from the faith. I believe he had it right, don't you? Look around you. Look around you and see if he had it right. Look around at your mother, your brother, your daddies, your sisters. Look around at your neighbors. Look around at your friends. Look around at the church members. Look at the Baptists, the Methodists, the Catholics, the Pentecostals. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, they're just as much Methodist as they ever was. Just as much Catholic, just as much Baptist, just as much Pentecostal. I know that, but they're not just as much Christian. There was a day when in all of those churches, somebody had Christianity. There was people that loved God. Many people that loved God. But look at it today. They're drifting around. Look at the Amish people. Turned completely away from God. One time devout, holy people. But today it's just a ritualistic. All of the people of the world doing the same thing. Why? Because the Scriptures cannot be broken. The Bible said, in the latter times they shall depart from the faith. Amen. They'll depart, not everybody. But the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. This doesn't mean that some people out yonder in the world is going to separate themselves from the faith, because those people in the world have never had the faith. But it means religious people, people that confess Christ, they're just going to get so worldly until they're going to depart from the faith. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean they're just going to say, I'm not Baptist anymore, I'm not Pentecostal anymore? No, I don't believe that. I believe they're going to emphatically state more than ever that they're Baptist and they're Methodist and they're Presbyterian. And they're going to stand there more and more and say that they're religious, but still depart from the faith. Being in the church, even the more depart from the faith. There's Pentecostal people today that don't even know what Pentecost is. There's Pentecostal people that don't even know what the Holy Ghost is. I've got people at Bethlehem, it's been with me 6 or 7 years, that still till this day don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit has never come into their lives. They're believers. There's preachers that's preaching that's never been filled with the Holy Ghost. They don't know what the Holy Ghost is. That's why they cater to the natural side of life and the carnal side of life. And that's why they do the things that they do. It's because they don't know anything about the Holy Ghost. That's why they err like they do. The Bible said God hath not given us the spirit of error. What hath he given us? He hath given us the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And what will the Holy Ghost do? Keep you from erring. He will guide you into all truth and all righteousness. Whereas you don't have to err. Because he guides you into that truth. That's where we're at today. See, if you have the Holy Ghost, you're just marching on with God. I feel the Holy Ghost just talking, see? The Bible said, and while he talked with him there at Cornelius, the Holy Ghost fell on him. And I feel the Holy Ghost as I talk, see? I can feel the Holy Ghost present. The Holy Ghost is the main one. That's the main spring of the whole thing. The Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you're in trouble. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you become a believer? If you are a believer, have you received the Holy Ghost? You say, well, sure, I received the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. That doesn't mean you receive the Holy Ghost. How do you know that that doesn't mean that you got the Holy Ghost? Speaking in tongues doesn't mean anybody's got the Holy Ghost. I've said this a lot of times. I've been around where they speak in tongues almost every time they get up. Walk right out and commit adultery. Walk right out and smoke cigarettes. Walk right out and do the things of the world. God doesn't do those things. Somebody said, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I know you don't, but God does. When we lean to our own understanding, you know, and we try to reason it out, we don't. That's true. Because the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end of that way is death. Jesus said there is a way. Then he said there's a highway. But Jesus said, I'm that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the word of God is that way. There is the way, he said. And this is the way. The truth. The life. Hallelujah. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? See, this is the words of spirit and life. This is the way. In the latter times, he said, some will depart from the faith. Is that departing from the Baptist? No. Is that departing from the Methodist? No. Somebody said, Brother Pike, the way you preach, I'm going to really latch on to my church. If you say that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, I'm going to make sure that I don't do that. But beloved friend, listen. Departing from the church, that's not it. Departing from the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic. Departing from any movement. That's not departing from the faith. Departing from little Bethlehem. That isn't departing from the faith. But when you separate yourself from God's word, you departed from the faith. You've got to believe in this word. You've got to live this word. You've got to walk in this word. You've got to let your conversation be in this word. Because faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And when you set yourself aside from the word of God, you have departed from the faith. You cannot leave the word of God and still be in the faith. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. They shall depart from the word of God. They'll have doctrines, all right. The Bible didn't say that they would depart from doctrines. It didn't say that they would leave the church. It said that they shall depart from the faith. Because they will give heed to seducing spirits. And then it goes on to emphasize, and doctrines of devils. How many of you know that there's doctrines of devils? And there's preachers of the devil that preach those doctrines of the devil. That's the thing that we've got to remember. Now, there not only is there doctrines of devils, but to have a doctrine, that means you got to have a preacher. Isn't that right? Did you know that a doctrine means something that you express, something that you teach, a standard that you set up, something that somebody talks about? Like Paul said, you've known my doctrine and manner of life. See, doctrines of devils, some shall depart from the faith. Why will they depart from the faith? Because they're going to sit in the church and they're going to think their own thoughts. And they're going to listen at their own mind. And they're going to surmise. And they're going to be jealous. And they're going to resent. And they're going to find fault. And they're going to be negative all the time in their thinking. Instead of thinking in the word of God. And instead of meditating in the laws of God day and night. They're going to reason it out. When God commanded them not to do that. You are the enemy of God when you do that. The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. That is a reprobate mind. That is your mind. And to be carnally minded is death. Because you have not a love for the truth. And what is truth? Christ is mine. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. It is Christ is mine. And what is Christ is mine? The word mind. Staying with the word of God. One of the greatest enemies of God is education. There's nothing that's a greater enemy to God. When a man gets a great education, he thinks that he is something. And from that moment on, he's got problems. It doesn't mean that God can't use the man. But it means the man won't let God use him. It's like Paul. Paul was greatly educated, but he let God use him. He said, I count all my learning as dung. Isn't that something today? You preach this kind of message today. You talk about this today.
And all of the great societies of the world want to close in on you. Why? Because their whole system is an educational system. It started from the tree of knowledge. The devil instigated it, and it's been going ever since. That's why it wants to crush places like little Bethlehem. That's why it's contrary. That's why the Bible said that David took the stone and hit the giant in the head, because that's where the trouble is. It is a system, but not God's system. It is not the mind of Christ. You give me a man that reasons in his mind, that's pretty sharp in his wits, that knows how to handle things pretty good, and I'll show you my enemy every time. Send him to Bethlehem. He'll be my enemy every time. Because he feels like he knows something. The Bible said when he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know. I say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that he doesn't have a lot of knowledge? The Bible said with wisdom get understanding. He might know a lot of things, but he needs some understanding. You say, what does he need to understand? That he is nothing, and all of his knowledge is dung. That's what he needs to understand. And that to be with God, he's got to have faith in the mind of Christ and lay everything else aside. I said, well, Brother Pike, that sounds to me like a brainwashing. It's the best and biggest that I ever knowed of. I never knowed of a better and a bigger one. And I'll tell you what, when he washed Peter's feet, he said, you're every whit clean. And brother, when he washes your brains, you're every whit clean. He don't leave a spot nor a blemish. Hallelujah. You might have had a PhD from over here, and you might have been under Professor Jones over yonder. But brother, when he gets through, there's not a lick of it left in you. Moses spent many years down there in Egypt and was a polished scholar. And the Lord took about the same amount of time and put him in the wilderness and got every bit of it out of him. You know, man's like an old possum. You take an old possum, he's good to eat. But you need to put him up for a few days. I don't know whether you know what I'm talking about or not. That's what my grandma used to do it. See, they need to be put up for a few days. Their appetite kind of gets away from them sometimes. And they indulge in things they shouldn't do. Now, so that's the way man is. Man is a great thing. But when he gets a mind full of garbage, then he becomes a stink in God's nostrils. It's like Nebuchadnezzar. He reminds me so much of the world situation of today, especially America. God has blessed America. And the day we're living in, you see her going around like Nebuchadnezzar. She'll look at her walls, and she'll look at her colleges, and she'll look at her streets. The congressmen, the great men, instead of giving God the glory, that old intellectual machine of theirs, they'll sit there and they'll say, look what we've done. We passed this policy. We passed that policy. And look what we've done. Look at our beautiful highways and our beautiful parks. The polished scholar didn't do a bit of it. It was the little old man that had no more ignorance than to take a pick and a shovel and start to work because he had to have a biscuit for his family. And all the rest of them just sat back with collars and ties and saw it done. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right. It's like Jimmy Carter today. They told him in the government, in Senate, not to mess with Taiwan, didn't they? They said, don't you mess with it. What was it, a 94? To nothing vote? But did Jimmy listen at him? Did he listen at him? Senate said, you can't do it. Said, Taiwan has kept every promise they made. Said, you can't mess with them. But did Jimmy pay attention to it? Jimmy done what he wanted to do, didn't he? Didn't he do it? He done what he wanted to do. Why is that? If you remember, I made a statement when he went in office. I said he's got one thing in mind, that's to rule the world. I said he might not look like it now, he might not act like it now, but you just watch and see, he's not just interested in America, he'll reach out all over the world because his desire is to be a world ruler. And he'll do it either by flattery or he'll do it by force. If he can do it by flattery, he'll do it by flattery. If he can't, he'll do it by force. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, don't you see these beautiful peace treaties that he's bringing in and all of these things and the way he's managing things? The Bible said when they cry peace, sudden destruction shall come. That's what I believe is the word of God. That might be why they're going to send the troops out here. That's what I believe. I believe that Jimmy needs to get in touch with God. Get God's word. Let God set it up. I'll tell you one thing. If you'll just give it a few years till the Antichrist gets through, God will set it up and you'll see there won't be any flaws in his government. There won't be any partiality in his government. You'll see that everything will go right and everybody will get along fine. You just wait and give them a little bit of time and you'll find out it's right. Now, if he is representing our government, then why doesn't he do what the government tells him to do? He has changed the federal government. He has took out and put in who he wanted to. He's rearranged things. He's done just exactly like he wanted to do. And he's going to cause Christ to prosper. I might say, I'm just a shaking. I'm afraid this thing's going to go down. You don't have to worry. There's going to be plenty of garlic and onions. You just hold on. Plenty of garlic and onions. Because Pharaoh's going to keep you in Egypt as long as he can. But there isn't going to be any spiritual bread. There's going to be a famine for God's word in the latter times. For the word of spirit. That's where the lichen's coming in. They're going to close in. Look at the Jim Jones situation. Why didn't they stop that? Instead of stopping it, what did they do? They wrote letters. They sent letters. The devil, all of them worked together. The carnal mind worked together. All of them worked together. Until they slaughtered almost 1,000 people. And then when they're all dead, everybody runs down there and says, blame Bethlehem. They're to blame. Blame the church with it. And some people are so small in their mind and in their concept until they receive that. And I've said this a lot of times. Look at a church. Has been going for hundreds and thousands of years. You never find one record of the church where they ever done a thing like that. Never. And then somebody like that has been supported by the government and everything else go down there and make such a mess. And then they want to close the churches up. It's a trick of the devil. That's what it is. To bring in a boycott. The one thing that stays free of the government is the church. Separation of church and state. That's the way it ought to be. And if it's going to be anything, it should be church over state. Not state over church. Since when does beast have enough understanding to tell gods what to do? Got it in reverse. God didn't set it up that way. Now, the Bible said, when the righteous ruleth, everything is fine. Isn't that Bible? Go back and check in the Old Testament. It said, when the righteous are in rule, everybody's happy, everything's fine, God blesses. But if the wicked get in rule, then there's nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. All down through the history of mankind, everywhere you find that the righteous was in rule, it's always been a great government. Even men like Washington and Abraham Lincoln, some of them that didn't understand maybe as much as you do, but still loved God and did what they understood to do. Look what great governmental figures and powers they were. Great statesmen. Why was it? Because they went to the Bible. I said, well, Jimmy's going to the Bible. I can't believe that. Jimmy's using the Bible, I agree to that. But Jimmy ain't going to the Bible for leadership. This is my conviction. Maybe I'm wrong. You got your conviction. But my conviction is that Jimmy wanted to be a world leader, and he knew the only way to be a world leader was to bring in communism and give communism a place, because he had watched every other world leader, that is, the people that come up to try to be a world leader that cut out communism, they never got to be a world leader. And he put it all together and figured that the one thing to do was get communism in. And then he could be a world leader. And he's right. But I tell you what, it's like Judas. The Bible said it better that man had never been born. When you look over yonder in the communistic country, and you know the things that they've done and the awfulness that they've done, and then you try to bring them into a religious nation. And I know that God's bringing in at this time because our nation ain't so religious. They've gotten to where they're as bad or worse than some of the nations of communism and different things. I know that they've fallen away from God. But nevertheless, it was established by the forefathers as a religious nation and should be a religious nation now. The Bible said, if they that are called by my name, if they will humble their hearts and call on God, that I'll hear from heaven and heal their lands. Did he say that? You show me another policy in Congress that shows where that the land can be straightened out. You show me some policy that Senate passed, something that Jimmy Carter's got up. You show me something that some king or some ruler or some great power that's got up that'll settle the affairs, that'll straighten out the awfulness of the land. They don't have any. But yet the Bible tells us that all we've got to do is pray and seek God, and God will do it. Who can do it? Not the world. He didn't say that would do it. They can be educated and polished and have scholars and PhDs, and they can be statesmen and they can be celebrities and all these things. But he didn't say he would do it for that reason. He said, but when my people call on my name, I'll clear the mud away. And the spring will be good to drink from again. I know in my heart that the whole governmental system is a compromising. What Jimmy's doing is not our government. That's not our government. That's not democracy. That's not what our forefathers gave us. That's not it at all. If Jimmy is the voice of our government, why does he do what Senate told him to do? The Senate is supposed to be our government. Look, if we have a Senate, or that is to say, if we have a place of meeting in Washington, to where Senator Talmadge over Georgia, and the Senator that's over Mississippi, and whatever states is under the Confederation, are united efforts, and every one of them sends a sinner to that, and they all get together, and that's Senate to us. And every one of them represents us. And they all make an agreement because they're over the people. Isn't that our government? Isn't that the voice of our people? What right then did the president have to go against every one of them? Go contrary. There ain't but one thing. Jimmy knows that he's got the thing in his hand. He took care of all that to start with when he put people in and put people out and rearranged things and felt around till he could get control. And he knows now he's done got Israel in his hand to some extent, the Arabs in his hand to some extent, and he knows that he's got communism in his hand to some extent and America in his hand to some extent, and he knows that nobody's going to defy him. That's what it is. He realizes that he's got things to where he don't have to listen to anybody. The Bible said concerning Antichrist, that who can make war against him? He'll come in with a little people, come in with flattery, and then he'll rule. He'll rule. He'll do what he wants to. Wasn't that what the Bible said? It said he will do that pleases him. Is he doing what pleases him? All right. So then, I feel that the government of today is not the government of the people. It's been changed. It is a communistic policy. It is my conviction that Russia is going to give in to America for a time, because America is flirting with China. And as long as America can get China, they know they can rule the world, because China about just about as big as America, and yet twice the population. Almost a third of the population of the earth. With about 700 million people or more, they can do what they want to. And one time she was allies with America. And then she went over the other way. And America's been shaky. She's been afraid. And how many remember I said that just watch, China will come into it and China will do it. See, China is just like the last piece in the puzzle. Jimmy realizes that if he can get the favor of China, then Russia will have to do what he wants. Because you could drop an atomic bomb right in the middle of China. And when it got through killing and killing and killing, she'd rise up like a bunch of honeybees and swarm all over Russia with what was left. They know that. There's always been a saying, don't awake the sleeping giant. It's been said in time past that you could take them and line them up with machine guns and put them out there. So they prove that you could do it. And just shoot continually and kill them, and they multiply faster than you could kill them out with machine guns. He knows that if he's got the power of China, he's got the world. He knows that. And Russia will give in to him. But Russia isn't going to give in to America to let America rule her or rule them. They're not going to do that. They'll never do that. They'll give in a deceitful way. It looks good. It looks like peace. It looks like Jimmy has the answer. It looks like the government's for the people, but it isn't. It's a satanic move that's contrary to God. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean contrary to God? What's that got to do with your preaching anyway? What you got to do with government? The Bible said the government's going to be on my shoulders. That's what I got to do with the government. Well, I said, you can be sure they'll send the troops out here. There's one thing about it. They stoned Stephen's to death, didn't they? The Bible said darkness and light doesn't have any fellowship. Isn't that right? The communistic practices of Russia, do they have any fellowship with the religious way of life in America? They deny Christ and we believe in Christ? Well, I know that you've denied him in works, many of you. I know that. That's what God said through the mouth of Paul when he turned the Jews out to graze, as we say. When he turned away from them, wouldn't have anything to do with them anymore. He said, you blaspheme the name of Christ by saying you're Christians and living every way but according to the word. He said, you reproach God, the entire nation. And God said, the entire nation has robbed me. Spending more on dog food than on God. I know that. I understand all these things about America. But I'm speaking concerning Washington's vision, where he saw the republic go down. He saw America fall. He saw her crumble. But he also saw a great intervention that raised her up and she went on forever. Amen. And America will never fall because America has to do with the millennium. America's a type of God's way of life. There's still people in America that represent the American way of life. The American God nation. God isn't going to let them fall. He just sift them out, take them on. He's never had but one nation. He started that back there with Adam. And he's running through the sifter all the way down. When he gets out there in the millennium, he's going to have the same thing. He's just going to get all the culls out, all everything away from it. It's going to be the same God, the same government, right on through the millennium, and then change it into the celestial, right on through. It won't be Jimmy Carter ruling it. There'll be a difference in the kingship. There'll be a difference in the rulership. Somebody said, well, it won't be you either, Brother Pike. You can't prove it. In that day, there's going to be kings. There's going to be kings. I've said this a lot of times. Jesus, the King of Kings, around him was a number of kings. If those kings were standing here today doing the talking to you, you know what they talk about? The government.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You know why? Because that's their office.
Praise God. Amen.
They want to know what's going on. That's their place. So I feel like that what we need to do is stay with the Word of God. Stay with God's Word. There's no governmental power. There's no governmental ordinance. There's no governmental policy that's going to save us. The Bible said in that day no man shall save them. No man. Their sins have reached up to heaven. And the Bible said there will be no healing medicine, no cures, no man shall save them. In that hour, everything will fail. And God alone shall be exalted in that hour. How will he be exalted? Somebody said, well, he'll just come on the scene. The Bible said he shall suddenly return into his temple, whose temples ye are, and the world shall kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. Let the world keep silent because God is in his holy temple. God is a spirit. You can't see God. You can't approach unto God. Amen. The only body that God has got is you and me. The only way the world can see God is through you and me. The world can't get there to see God. How are they going to come and kneel at God's feet? Brothers and sisters, God works through us. They're going to come and kneel at our feet. You love Jesus? Amen. All right, so it's something to get excited about. This is not some college certificate that a few bald-headed men got together and pinned on you and said you something because we think so. You love Jesus? This is something God said. Brother Pike, the way you talk about education, you don't have much confidence in it. Don't have any confidence in it. The Bible said we are they that have no confidence in the flesh. The carnal mind's enmity with God. You say, well, what do you think it's good for? Paul said, dung. Then what do you believe in? I believe in God. I believe in the knowledge of God. I believe in the wisdom of God. Somebody said, well, I could get along with you pretty good if you just let me keep a little bit of it. You don't need any of it. Get rid of all of it. But I tell you what, brethren, you that have counted all of your learning, isn't that your learning? How do you know schooling is your learning? You that counted all your learning as dung and turned to the Word of God, determined to know nothing but Christ. You that are coming up in God, whatever God has given you, ever how God has arranged things up here, whatever God has made you to know, that's great and mighty. It might be just that much, as we would say, but it's great and mighty. It's heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. If you don't know but a little bit, you hold on to it with all of your heart. The Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense and reward. For he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And Paul said, if we continue this race and finish our course, he said, then there is a crown of life laid up for us. And that's what we need to do. Don't get lifted up. Don't think you're something when you're nothing. He's everything. And we're only something in him. And without him, we're nothing. We're nothing. But in him, we are gods. We are the eternal rulers of the eternities. In him, we are complete. All right, there's a lot of things we'd like to say this morning, but I felt to exhort you a little bit and say these few things. And I hope we've said something that might encourage you. If you just go on and go on. I want you to stand with me. The Bible teaches that we're to be subject to the powers, the magistrates, the laws of the land, the rulers. For they're not set unto us as a terror, but to the wicked. And I believe in my heart that the government is doing what they know to do. What they believe is right. I believe that's what Jim is doing. I believe they're all doing what they believe's right. What they know to do. What they understand. But it's my job to tell you that it isn't going to work. It isn't going to work. I say, well, you think we ought to interfere with it? Certainly not. The Bible said to be subject to them. Pay your taxes. Go ahead. Jesus said it all belongs to Herod. It don't belong to God, but go ahead, lest you offend them. But it's still my job, as it was Jesus's in that day, to tell you that Herod don't have the answer. And to tell you that all of Herod's efforts is for one purpose, and that's to kill out the Christ child. To put him under a governmental constraint to where he can't breathe unless the government says so. It's my job to let you know, children of light, that the day is nearby and that God is going to raise up a government. For the Bible said in that day, the little stone that's hewed out of the mountain is going to hit the government. And the government don't like for you to hit them. Did you know that? But it said it would hit the government. And the governments of the world would go down and the little stone would grow till it filled all the land. And in those days, the scripture said, and I will raise up a government, God said. And it'll be upon his shoulders. And it'll be throughout eternity. So then the hour's here. All governmental powers have failed and peace looks like that it's coming in. But it's a lying vanity. In the hour when they cry peace, it'll be sudden destruction. When the book of Revelation speaks of The world reeling and rocking is talking about those bums. When that angel went over there and he took that censer and he went to that golden altar and he filled it with the fiery indignation of the coals from that altar and throwed it into the earth, that was them bums. They're going to cause this earth to reel and rock like a drunk man. All those earthquakes reel and rock like a drunk man is going to happen. All of the peace treaties and the peace talks isn't going to stop Russia from hurling their bums. And when one starts throwing theirs, the other's going to throw theirs. And everybody's going to get scared. And it's just going to be one great mass of confusion. Just reeling and rocking. Everything just torn all to pieces. But in the midst of all of it, the Lord's going to reach right down and just pick us up. Just like that. Right out of all the troubles. Right out of all the heartaches. Right out of all the problems. Just pick us up. Take us right out of it. We'll be saved. Because we'll be delivered from all of it. That's why we need to know that we are under the governmental constraint of heaven. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that you are not a citizen of the United States? Jesus said one time, he said, who do they take tribute from? The man said, strangers. He said, we're pilgrims. We're seeking a country whose builder and maker is God. Isn't that right? God's our government. There is but one government, that is God. That's why they stoned Stephen to death. That's why they stoned the others to death. That's why the vision said that they shot me was because I raised the name of Jesus on that flag as my government. That's what it represented. Just exactly what I'm doing this morning. Lifting up Jesus. Brethren, are you going to stop lifting up Jesus? You can if you want to. That's your business. And I may do it. Every man may do it. He don't know what he'll do. But as far as I know, by the grace of God, I give him a life to it. And I don't plan to quit lifting up Jesus. Whether Jimmy likes it, or whether the government likes it, or whether whoever likes it, I intend to lift up the name Jesus right on, regardless to what they have to say about it. I've been in some tight, hard places, and they said, you can't do it. And the police said, you can't do it, but I've done it anyway. I'm still here today. I might not be here tomorrow, but I'm still here today. And if I'm here today, I can take advantage of today. And you can take advantage of tomorrow. All right, so then, let's love the Lord. Let's not be foolish. Let's not oppose the government or anybody else as far as being subject. Go on and do whatever they tell you as long as they don't tell you anything that crosses the Word of God. But be like Daniel. The day that they bring something to cross the Word of God, then you cross the government. Then you cross what they're doing. And you do like Daniel. Daniel hadn't bothered anybody, but they passed laws to bother Daniel. Daniel didn't cross their laws, they crossed Daniel's laws. We've not crossed their laws, we've not bothered them. But with the Jim Jones situation, all this boiling like a pot out there about closing in on the church, they're going to cross our laws. And that's where the mark of the beast is coming in. If you bow to it, then you're gone. The Bible said you'll receive no rest, day or night. I feel this way. It's better for me to give my little puny way of life now to God than it is and suffer a little bit, as we would say, than to wait around and take the mark of the beast and suffer throughout eternity. Because it wouldn't be but just a matter of 2 or 3 years anyway once you get under the constraint of the Antichrist. You ain't got but 2 or 3 years more left anyway to eat garlic and onions. You might as well just get your bait now. That's what you're going to do. So then, I'm not favorable toward them. I'm favorable toward every effort that Jim is making and every other one. But I believe that Jimmy should obey the Senate. If the Senate has made an agreement with the country and the country has not transgressed and the country has done right, they ought to stand by their agreement. And Jimmy Carter done wrong in cutting across it, and I stand with Senate on it because that's our government. That's the way it's supposed to be. Not ride over a country that's trying to do right to pick up another country over there that's held up communism. That's my conviction. I tell Jimmy that's my conviction. I may get a chance to. But that's the way I feel about it. I have written the president and told him my conviction. I have written Senate and told him my convictions.
That's the way I feel. I feel like we should stand for something. And whatever's right, that's what we should stand for. Whatever Jimmy does that agrees with the Bible, I'm with him. Don't matter if he changes tomorrow, I'll change with him if he changes the Word. If I don't agree with him today and he changes to God's Word tomorrow, then I'll change that quick and agree with him because I'm with the Word. That don't change me at all. That just changed my feelings about him because he's the one that done the changing. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then, if Senate changes tomorrow and they go contrary to the people, then I'll change my feelings about Senate. Whatever is right, that's what I believe in. Whatever Jimmy's done right, I believe in it. As far as trying to have peace, I believe in that. I believe it's the right thing for Jimmy to do, is try to get world peace. I believe we should have world peace. But the Bible said there is no peace to the wicked. How are you going to have world peace when the world's full of wicked people? He said, if them that are called by my name will humble their hearts, call on heaven, I'll heal the land. He said, I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. There ain't going to be no peace to the wicked. God ain't going to let them have peace. It doesn't matter, brethren, how many agreements that they signed with one another, they can't get a peace pact with God. See, before you can have peace, you've got to have peace. You've got to have a peace pact with the Prince of Peace. They can't get a peace pact with God. There's no peace for the wicked. He said, I'll wage war against the wicked. I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth. They can't make a little agreement to continue to live down here in this world in the lust of the flesh, marrying and remarrying and running their children through a cesspool that's called education and all the things that they've gotten of today, making money and being greedy and killing and everything else. Frolic. God isn't going to let that go on. They're going to have to get a peace pact with Him. All right, that's the way I feel. If you're at peace with God, therefore being justified by faith, what do we have? Somebody tell me. The Bible said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Isn't that right, children of God? The Prince of Peace. Peace on earth. Unto you a Savior is born. Peace on earth. Somebody said, well, where is it at? In the world, you'll have trouble. In me, you'll have peace.